called reigning in life. Y'all know God wants us to reign in life. And so we've been understanding what that means. And we came from this foundation passage in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Can y'all put that up there for me? Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Praise the Lord. There we go. There we go. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Y'all know what it says? It says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Who is that talking about? Adam. It's talking about Adam because of Adam's one transgression in the Garden of Eden, his sin in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that death came in because of that sin and reigned like a king. That's what that means. Basilia reigns like a king. That's why everybody experiences death. That's why we're all born into sin. We're all born sinners, not because we sinned, but because Adam sinned. Adam's transgression. And you can see how huge the gravity of that one event was. In fact, the two most important men in the world. Yeah, I can say that. The two most important men in the world are number one, Adam, and number two, Jesus. Why? Because of the impact that they've had on humanity, all of humanity. Because of Adam's transgression, every human being is born into sin. Is that powerful? Yeah, because he was the first man. And because of his transgression, everyone in the earth is born into sin, born into death. We'll all die because of that. Are y'all with me? But notice that, how big that is. But then the most important part is it says much more. Much more than the gravity of that. Much more than the power of cancer. Much more than the power of addiction. Much more than the power of sin. Much more than the power of death. Much more, those who receive abundant, just two things, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will do what? Reign in life through one Jesus Christ. So here we see the Adam and we see what Jesus did. And the impact of what Jesus did is much greater than the impact of what Adam did. And so we see with what Adam did, death reigned, but through what Jesus did, we reign in life. What does that mean? Come on, y'all at Bible study. What does reigning in life mean? Y'all can yell at me. Yes. Means that we have the ability through Jesus, through the one Jesus Christ, to reign over all those things that came with sin and death. Over sickness, over poverty, over depression, over addiction, over sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you because you're under grace and not the law. Sin doesn't have dominion over you. Addiction doesn't have dominion over you any longer. Are you with me? As a born-again believer. And so this whole chapter, Romans chapter 5, explains that and compares what Adam did with what Jesus did. But notice here what we've been focusing on is these two things that we must just receive to reign in life. Reign in life over sickness, over death, over poverty. Two things we have to receive. Isn't that good news, y'all? You only got to receive two things. Number one was abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Well, for the first part of this series, all we focused on was the gift of righteousness. We explained that aptly. And then, now what we've been on for several weeks, part six today, is understanding this abundance of grace. So we've learned a lot, but here's what the definition that we gave grace. One of my favorite definitions and the best way to remember what grace is and to understand it from a biblical perspective is this acronym. Grace, G-R-A-C-E. And what is that? God's riches at Christ's expense. Say it all together, y'all. God's Christ's expense. And that's what grace is. Every single thing that God has for mankind, it came at Christ's expense. All of his righteousness. We get all of his righteousness. How? At Christ's expense. We get all of salvation. The exact same salvation that Jesus has, we got that, but it came at Christ's expense. Y'all get it? Jesus died for us as us. This is such an important truth to understand because Jesus died for the sins of the world. He had no sin. He wasn't born into sin. He never sinned. He had no sin, but yet he died with sin. Whose sins? All of our sins. He died with all of our sins. He died for all of our sins. But then the Bible says he rose again from the dead in the newness of life. If he rose again from the dead, guess what? all of our sins had been paid for. He didn't have any sins. It was for our sins. So we, the Bible says, we rose in the newness of life. Whose life then? His life. It was a great exchange. He died for our sins so we could live with his life. Come on, somebody. Y'all sound like that don't make no big deal to y'all. Oh, no, no. That's why you're alive, all right? That is the most important thing in our salvation right there is a great exchange at the cross, all right? So what is God's grace? Grace is God's power, his strength, his ability to be who you're born to be. In fact, we're born again, not by our own ability. You couldn't have done anything to be born. You couldn't have done anything on your own to receive God's grace. In other words, you didn't stop. You couldn't stop sinning enough to make God say, okay, you're cool now. You're qualified. It wasn't anything you did. It was his ability, his power, his blood, his strength, his death, his life that gave you his grace. Are y'all with me? He says, so it's God's power and strength and ability to be who you're born to be, right? And that means as a born-again believer and as who you're, what the thing that you're born to do. But it's God's grace that enables you to do that. Let's see. And to do what you were born to do through faith. The thing that you can't do on your own, that's what grace is there for. It's God's strength to do it. Are y'all with me? You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't heal yourself. It's God's grace that does that. It's all of God's riches, his healing. There's a grace for healing. There's grace for every single thing. God is so in love with mankind that he wanted mankind to have all of who he is. God wants you to be his partner. Are y'all with me? In fact, the Bible says it like us, a marriage. God wants to be married and intimate with you. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Y'all quiet tonight, but I'm still going to do my job. Unmerited favor. It's unmerited. What that means is we didn't do anything to afford that. He did it on his own. Even when we didn't know we needed it, even when we didn't think we needed him, he paid the price for us to be in fellowship with him. But that's the thing about grace. Grace is God's goodness towards mankind, God's love towards mankind, unearned, undeserved. He gave it to us of his own free will, of his goodness. Not because of our goodness, but because of his goodness. Y'all listening to me? Amen. So that's what grace is, and we studied that out and we found that out. But then, here's where we're going tonight. Tonight I want to talk about grace and truth. So grace, we've got to understand this, that grace has been provided for the whole world through Jesus Christ, but grace without truth is of no benefit and is often perverted. Grace not mixed or coupled with truth actually is of no benefit whatsoever. None. It doesn't do, just because God so loved the world, God loves the world, but you'll still go to hell if you don't know how to receive that grace. It's offered to the whole world. Are y'all with me? So let's understand that. Let's understand that grace was given to the whole world through Jesus Christ, but grace without truth mixed with it, harmonized with it, is of no benefit and is often perverted. Let me show you in the scriptures. Turn over to Titus. Y'all know where Titus is? Titus in the scriptures. Mark this in your Bible. You want to see this. Watch this. For the grace, the strength, the ability, the power of God, the healing of God, the salvation. Watch this. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to who? So the grace of God has come and appeared. Now remember what Paul said. He said, if you receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you'll reign in life. Reign over sickness. Reign over poverty. Reign over sin. Sin won't be able to keep its bond, its chains on you. All right? For the grace of God, okay, has appeared that offers salvation to who? Every single person. All right? So we found out that grace is Jesus. Grace must always be connected to Jesus Christ because that's how it came here. Grace came through Jesus. Jesus is grace personified. The Bible says that nobody had ever seen God at any time. So Jesus was the express image of the Father so we could see what God is like. They didn't know in the Old Testament because all they had was the law. So Jesus came to show us the Father. Remember, Philip said that? Jesus, show us the Father. He said, Philip, how long have I been with you? I've been with you all this time and you don't know? Me and the Father are one. You looking at me, you are looking at the Father. Yeah. And so God was trying to let us know that this is who I am. I'm this loving God that's come to bring my goodness to you. I'm not this mad God. I'm not defined by the law. Amen. All right? Just like you. A relationship isn't based on do's and don'ts. It's a person. And Jesus was to demonstrate the person of God. Y'all with me? For the grace of God has appeared. Now remember, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Just because grace has come to all people, are all people saved? No. Watch this. Go to the next verse for me. It, grace, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. This is vitally important right here. Because grace without truth is often perverted. And oftentimes, when people hear grace, many believers think, oh, cool. Now there's no consequence for my sin. I can just do whatever I want. They don't understand grace because grace teaches us to say no. Grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So grace teaches us something. This is another statement I want you all to remember, and I'm jumping ahead of myself here for a second, but grace is not the ends. Grace is the means to an end. Grace, many people thought, well, I got grace, and they heard the grace message, born again, but they said, oh, good, I'm caught up in fornication, I'm caught up in this foolishness, I'm caught up in this sin, but God still, he loves me so much that that doesn't matter. I can keep leaving in that. You don't understand grace, and there's going to be huge consequences for that sin that you decide to still live in. Grace, the reason, grace is to get you from where you are, he'll say it in this passage, from where you are. Grace was necessary for God to even deal with us. It enabled God to tell us to come up and to deal with us where we are. It's the only way he could get close to us to save us from our sin. Are you with me? There's no other way. It took his grace and his blood. God took a step to say, I'm going to forgive you of all your sin. It's now grace is there to help you make the change. Grace teaches us to say no to addiction, to ungodliness, to fornication. As a born-again believer, you definitely don't understand grace if you're still perpetually living in sin. There's no way. There's no way you understand grace if there's no way you have genuine relationship with the person of Jesus if you can still live in perpetual sin, if nothing's changed and you just show up at church. No way. No way. Because grace, or Jesus, right, who is grace embodied, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. You can't do it in your own strength. You need that strength of grace to overcome those things. Now listen, let me get this, make sure y'all get this. All of us have a body and all of our bodies are crazy. So none of us can point fingers and say, well, you did this and you did this, but I didn't do that. No, all of our bodies are out of control. Paul said it in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. He said, in me there is no good thing, that is, in my flesh. All of our flesh is crazy. All of us will get addicted. All of us have the ability to do things that we say would think we could never do. You walk away from God and the grace of God, you'll find yourself bound up in some of the craziest stuff you would never imagine. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to people. I've seen it happen to lives where they're all, oh, praise the Lord. Loving God. I got to tell y'all, I had the guy who witnessed to me, the guy who shared the gospel with me that I got saved on, that I got saved as an 18-year-old. Can I tell y'all a story? Did I tell y'all in this service? I did tell y'all in this service? Shaw said I did. Oh, okay. No. I was 18 years old. I had gotten fired from this department store that I was working at called Gold Circle. Gold Circle in Columbus, Ohio. It was a department store. And I worked there, and I stole a cassette tape. This had to be 79, something like that, 79, 80, something like that. I was working for the store, and I don't remember what cassette it was. I didn't get out of the store. I worked there, and I stuck the tape, went back to my area, stuck it in my pocket. Well, you know, they got cameras everywhere. Just a kid, stupid kid, right? stuck the tape. So I'm getting ready to go when the store is closing, and don't you know they came back there before I could get out and said, hey, we need to talk to you for a minute. I already knew. It's like, uh-oh. Anyway, I got fired that day, right? I got fired. I'm coming home. I'm so disappointed in myself, so sad. And so that next day or that week, I go to get another job. Back then in 1979 or 80, maybe it was 80. I think it was 1980. That TJ Maxx, y'all heard of TJ Maxx, the clothing store? TJ Maxx was just opening, brand new startup company, came to Columbus, Ohio. Store was opening. They were just, you know, TJ Maxx. We didn't know what it was. Anyway, I somebody told me or something, that there's a store over there. They're opening this new store. Maybe you can go over there and get a job. I did. I went right over there, and they were just setting up the store, setting up the racks and all this stuff. So I went and filled an application. They hired me right there on the spot. I started that day. Are you with me? There's a young man there. Young man. Kenny Lynch is his name. Kenny is about my age, about the same age. And he's there working too. And I didn't see him until we went into the break room. Everybody's taking a break. We go in the break room. He's sitting there with his Bible. I come back in the break room. You know, they got vending machines and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there. And the young man said to me, he says, I see him sitting there reading the Bible, just boldly just sitting there reading the Bible and eating his sandwich and everything. And I sit there and I'm minding my own business. He says, hey, man. I said, you reading the Bible? He goes, yeah. He said, you ever heard of the parables? I said, no, I never heard of that. What is that? And he said, come here, let me explain it to you. And just started sharing with me the gospel that day. I was so amazed. I'd gone to church as a little boy, grew up in church with, you know, sitting on the front pews where my feet didn't touch the ground. You know what I'm talking about, little boy. But I never heard anything. I just kind of watched the organ player move his feet and watched the choir. But I didn't have any idea what was going on. You know what I'm saying? I was a little boy. So then my parents stopped going to church, so we didn't ever go to church. Till that day, I heard about, that day is when I first heard him tell me about Jesus. And I was like, wow, I never knew anything about it. And he told me, you know, in a loving, nice way, he was letting me know these parables. Didn't say really anything about me being a sinner or any of that. He just started sharing these things about Jesus. And I said, man, this is so interesting. I really want to know more about that. He said, you want to know more about this? I said, yeah. He said, why don't you meet me after work and come over to my house? I said, yeah, I'll do that, right? I went over to his house, and he started telling me that I needed Jesus, and he prayed with me. That day, I'm 18 years old, my life changed forever. That day. Watch this. I'm dating a girl at Ohio State University, my girlfriend, right? And she has birth control pills. Come on, somebody, y'all grown. Y'all know what I'm talking about. 18-year-old kid. And I tell her on the way in, I said, look, I got saved last night. You don't need those birth control pills with me. I'm done. I really got saved, and my life radically changed forever. Just as a result of this young man sitting back in the break room reading his Bible. Changed my life forever. Now, the whole point of the story is the young man. We ended up being roommates and very good friends. And he always had a struggle. Always had a struggle. Born again, saved, but had a struggle. Smoking weed. Are y'all with me? And just, he loved God. He loved God, but he didn't know how to get over this, right? I move away. We grow up. I get married. All this stuff. Life goes on. I get a call while I'm here from his sister. How many years ago, babe? Three or four years ago, his sister, Bunny, somehow they get a hold of, know who, find my number and all that stuff, find me, call, I think they may have called the church, but anyway, they got the number, and called me and say, hey, Kenny wants to see you. He's on his deathbed. He's in the hospital and he's dying, right? And he wants to talk to you. Well, I called the number, I kept calling the number, and he was in the hospital, but he was unconscious. He was like in a coma or something. And then he died, right? His sister calls me back and says, Kenny passed, but he wanted me to tell you this. Would you please come and do his funeral? The dude who witnessed to me, changed my life, and we've impacted thousands of lives over the year, died because he couldn't overcome some issues. He had been through, and now watch, when I go to the church, he was, you know, we got saved in a little apostolic church. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Everybody was going to hell except for, you know, just them, like 10 people. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever been in them kind of church? They mean, man, mean church. And anyway, he had a struggle, but he lived under condemnation with it. He ended up getting on crack. He ended up getting on all kinds of drugs. He was married to this bishop in the city's daughter. They all hated him because he had, you know, drugs messed up his life and essentially messed up their lives. You know, because he had kids and his marriage was wrecked and, you know, he was on drugs. So and you know, he'd be off drugs, he'd be on, but he never knew how to overcome it. And he was all in the church. I knew it when Shanae and I went there. And I'm telling you, his ex-wife and the family, they're all on that front row and they're there, but they're mad. They're like, you know, because it's that still under that kind of, you know, that kind of, what do you call that? That kind of religion and condemnation. So they're thinking he's not even really saved. He's in hell, all this kind of stuff. I know he's saved. Yeah. I know he's in heaven. I knew him personally. I knew how committed he was. But this thing had bound him. He'd never learned how to overcome, and it cut his life short. I mean, that was... I'm 58 now, so I was probably 54 or something like that, 53 or 54 years old, going there doing one of the guy who changed my life and impacted my life more than any other human being, because he never learned to overcome the things that were challenging to him. And that's what grace is for. Grace isn't there to leave, to save you from your sin and then leave you in it. Grace is to save you and then transform you out of those worldly passions and stuff that will ultimately rob you in life. Come on, somebody. Are y'all listening to me? Watch what it says. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Look at the next one. While we wait for the blessed hope, during the time, your salvation to the time that Jesus comes back. Right? While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. So do y'all get what he's saying? This grace came to redeem us from all wickedness, not to leave us in it. And so what we're learning, this grace to overcome, to reign in life, is to overcome all the challenges. And all of us are facing something. Don't get under condemnation. All of us got issues, stuff, but grace is there to get it, the means to get us out of that. Pray the person next to you. Say, don't stay in the mess. It'll rob you. Do y'all get that? It'll rob you. Amen. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is right. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. I'm just showing you that grace came to do that for every single person, but it didn't have. Is everybody saved because grace came to bring salvation to everybody? You have to receive it. It has to be coupled with something, truth. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. NIV again. I love this passage. Just trying to show you how grace came, given to everybody, but you have to receive it. Watch this. That is why Paul writing to Timothy says, that is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people. Look at the next part. And especially those who believe. Have y'all read that before in Timothy? It didn't seem funny, like, hold up, he's the Savior of all people, but especially for those who believe. In other words, he's a Savior for everybody, but the ones who are getting benefit of it are the ones who believe it. Right. Are y'all with me? Look at this other one. Look at John. I think it's 1 John. Is that right? Yeah, 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2. Look at this. Dear children, John writes, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Y'all hear this? Sin is deadly. Say, sin is deadly. Yeah. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only our sins, but also for the sins of the who? So Jesus didn't just die for our sins, for the saints. He died for the sins of the whole world. What makes us different is that we just simply believed it and received it. We coupled the grace with something, and that's what I want to explain today, all right? So Jesus is that grace that came forth and appeared to all people and brought the goodness, the great things that God has for every single person. All right, turn over in your Bible. We're going to talk about grace and truth. Look over in your Bible at John chapter 1. the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let's just read. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and it's so packed with revelation. So packed. And this first chapter, so packed with revelation about who Jesus is, how his grace came, what is the purpose of who he is and all that. Here, let's just look at it. Y'all know there's four Gospels, right? What are they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the Gospel of John is different than all the other Gospels. 90% of the information and the scripture that's in John is not in the other Gospels. Matthew and Mark have a genealogy, but the genealogy in John is like this. It starts out like this. In the beginning was the Word. Here's the genealogy in John chapter 1. It depicts Jesus as God. In the beginning was the what? The Word. Now, this is an awfully interesting way to depict who God is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why is John depicting Jesus as the Word? Why is that? We're going to find that out. That's part of the thing that I want y'all to understand today, how important the Word is with grace. And he's calling Jesus the Word here, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word synonymous with God. Who is it talking about here, by the way? Jesus, right? And don't you know, here's the next verse. He was in the beginning with God. Next. All things were made through him. That's the Word, right? Isn't that right, though? In Genesis chapter 1, God said, and he says the Word was doing that. That's how everything was created. All things were created through him. Wherever it says him here, you can change it with Word then, right? All things were made through the Word, and without the Word or him was nothing made that was made. Look at this next one. Watch this. In him, or in the Word, was life. All right? In the Word, in him is life. And the life, look at this next part, was the light of men. What's the light of men? The Word, or the life. In him was life, and the life. By the word, that word life there is Zoe. Z-O-E. In him was Zoe. And what that word means is the life of God that makes God God. It's the life that makes God God. Watch this. In him, in the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. Keep that in mind. So this life of God is the light of men. All right? Stick with me. Next. And the light, which is the life of God, shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. All right? In him was life. This life is the light of men, and the darkness couldn't comprehend this light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. What does John's name mean in the Greek? Y'all know what it means? Grace. His name means grace. Isn't that interesting? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. What is the light again? The life of God. Remember? And this life, in him was life, and the life is the light of men. This, go back here. Y'all remember? I just want to make sure that you're following me here. In him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So this light is life, the God kind of life. All right, go to verse 7 again. Please. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. I really believe all of us being born again, it's the life of God. That light, the Bible calls it here, the light, this light is the life of God. You and I, we look at each other and we see our flesh, we see our bodies, but if the spirit realm sees us, they see light. The same light that is in Jesus. The exact same light. When you got born again, if you could put on spiritual glasses, every time you walk in, light walks in. The life of God walks in. That's in you. That's what made you born again. You've got that light on the inside of you, the very life of God, right? So John came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe, right? Next. John, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Watch what he says. That was the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. All right, what is he talking about here? Every single thing that lives, lives because of his life. He is the source. Jesus is the source of all life. What gives life to every human being is him. Colossians says it. Without him, with him, all things consist. He is what gives life to everything. Everything is alive because Jesus is the source of life. He's the source for animals, the source of, he's holding the planets in place. He is, we can't, our minds can't even comprehend how big God is. But the Bible, John describes it here as this life of God and as a light. And that light is what gives life to everything. All right? That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Next. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. All right? Next. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to mankind, they didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who did what? Now, this is an interesting truth right here in verse 12. But as many, do y'all know that the world tells this lie that everybody is a child of God?
Yes.
They're not. Everybody is not a child of God. The world loves to say that. We're all children of God, but we're not. The Bible says here, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To who? To those who did what?
Believe.
So even though grace came to give this eternal life of God to everybody, everybody doesn't receive it. And everybody is not a child of God. In fact, Jesus said it to the scribes and Pharisees. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Are you with me? He's real cold and real straight like that. Come on. Right? And to those who believe in his name. So not everybody is. Now watch, this is a truth that has to be linked with grace to receive any benefit of it. Because the world is telling a lie that everybody is all right with God. All right? But we're not. Everybody is not all right with God. That's the truth that offends the world. Only those that receive him. Come on, somebody, all right? I'm belaboring all this for a point because we're getting somewhere, all right? Go to the next one for me, please. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So he's saying they're not born of the flesh, they're born of God. Those of us that are born again. Next. 14, please. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What's his name? All right, so it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what?
Grace.
Full of just grace?
Grace.
Full of just truth?
Grace.
Full of grace and truth. So Jesus, the Word, the light, was full of grace and truth. Look at the next one. Oh, is that the last one I'm going to read? I think that's the last one I'm going to read today on that. No, keep going. 7 here. John bare witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. What? You get this? John is saying, now, I've been out here preaching that somebody's coming. He says, actually, this is him. This is who I've been telling you about, who's going to come, whose shoes I'm not even unworthy to unloose. I've been here before him, but actually, he came before me. What do you mean he came before me? He was alive before any of us.
Yes.
He's the beginning of all life. Are y'all with me? John bore witness and cried out before me. Next. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Notice what we received. There's grace for grace given to us, but notice what Jesus was full of. Grace and truth. There's something that's missing here to get the greatest benefit of grace. Truth. Grace must be coupled with truth to receive benefit of it. And for you and I to receive the greatest benefits of grace, it must be harmonized with truth. Grace without the truth is meaningless.
Right.
It does no good for people.
That's right.
It must be harmonized with truth. Now, why are we talking about this? Because we want more grace.
Yeah.
We want more grace. Isn't that right? And we found out about humility. We found out a lot of things. But now we're finding out grace must be coupled or harmonized with truth. Let's dig in a little bit deeper. Y'all know the next one. And if it's fullness, we've all received grace for grace. Next. For the law was given through Moses, but grace. For the law was given through Moses, but what came through Jesus?
Grace
and truth. All right? Y'all with me? All right, all right. Jump over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let's learn about truth so we can couple it with grace and receive the greater benefit of grace. All right, y'all remember this? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I am the way. You know, the world thinks that Jesus is a way, knows some truth, but he's just one of the ways to God. Either Jesus was crazy or a liar, or he was telling the truth. Nobody can get up and say, I am the way, unless they are the way or they're a liar. Not a nice guy then, if he's lying. Truth is, he is the way. The world likes to say he's a way. No, he says, I am the way and I am the truth. What does that mean? He is the truth and the life. He is the source of all truth and all life. And he is the only way to the Father. Are y'all listening to me? Y'all get how huge that is. Now, why is that huge? Because in today's culture, you hear this statement. My truth is. My truth. We should live our truth. Like truth is not absolute. Like truth is, oh, well, your truth is that, but my truth is this. Now, this is such a dangerous thing, and because, you know, well, my truth is that, you know, I believe this. What Jesus is saying is, no, all truth begins with me. It's absolute. I'm the way you're going to get truth. I am the truth, and I am the very source of life. This is so vitally important to understand, because in today's culture, and this is so sad that that much of the church has embraced that, this non-absolute truth, that everybody gets to live their own truth. You do get to live your own truth. Do whatever you want to, but what's going to be a scary thing if we as the church, and the Bible calls us the light of the world. We're the ones that have to show the truth about who God is, or they won't know. The worst thing that can happen to any human being is for them to be told by someone that they're all right with God when they really aren't. Think of the injustice that you're doing to them to say, well, it's all right. This lifestyle is all right. Or this is okay. Well, that's my truth. That's your truth, but here's my truth. Jesus said, no, there's one truth. I'm him. And if you're going to find the foundation of absolute truth, it's based in me. Why? Because I'm the source of all life. Now, this is different than anybody else. Hare Krishna, nobody else said that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one else can say that. Do y'all get the difference between Christianity and religion then?
Yeah.
There is a religious Christianity. But what he's talking about, what Christianity really is this relationship with the maker of all life.
Yeah.
Think of how huge that is. Is anybody getting the gravity of that? You get to be a friend with God, the one who made you. Think of who we are, man. We have really got a great position in life. Amen? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way. Amen? Now, this is what the world has contention with. Have y'all known that? They contend with that. They're like, that isn't right. How can he be the only way? What about these other people? He's God. He'll deal with all that.
Right.
Our responsibility, though, and our greatest responsibility in life, our greatest is to reflect that glory as a believer. Do y'all know this? The world does not know. They do not know that God's not mad at them. They do not know that God has already paid the ways for their sins. He wants us to display. The Bible says this, let your light so shine. What is your light? The life of God. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify who? Glorify the Father in heaven. So our lives as believers should be markedly different from the world's life because of the life of God, that light that's inside of us. All the epistles talk about it. Paul alludes to this. You once were in darkness, but now you're in the light. You're in this way of light. So no longer live your life like that. Why? Because we as believers should be living a lifestyle that is so far superior in lifestyle, in joy, in peace. Yes, we'll go through struggles. But guess what, y'all? We have to have this perspective that's beyond our 70, 80, 90, 120 years. There's much more to that. And what happens is when we take on the world's view, we only look to our life here, getting all that we can here. It's much more than that. Life is much more than you, your job, and your family until you die. It's much more than that. It's God has placed you here on an assignment. Yes, there's a job for you to do, but it's beyond just doing that job. It's beyond just raising those children. Our 120 years is going to be so short in eternity. You get what I mean? It's life is like a vapor. So it's much more than that. We have to live with a more eternal perspective.
Amen.
Than just here. Are y'all with me? Ooh, God, there's so much I want to show you there. Are y'all with me? All right, let's move on. Let's move on a little bit because we've got to understand what truth is. Truth is Jesus. It's the start of truth. It's the foundation of absolute truth. Look at John chapter 17. Turn to John 17, beginning at verse 14. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer. He's about to go to the cross, and he's praying out in the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples, remember? And they kept falling asleep, and he's praying because he's about to be arrested and go to the cross. Watch what happens here. He's praying, and the whole chapter is amazing. But he says, he's praying to the Father, I have given them your word, right? Watch this. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I read that first part of John to you because he was the word incarnate. He was the absolute truth and why the world hated him, because the world had their own truth. But Jesus says, no, but this is the real truth. This is what it really is. And when you say things like that, and he said, because I've given them your word, the world's going to hate them.
Right.
When you as a believer shine what's truth in a world that says, this is what our truth is, the world's, and you say, well, no, this is what it is. Like in today's, come on, y'all know it. In today's society, sexuality, these types of things are things that people say, well, this is my truth. This is how I'm. And when you say, well, no, this is what God's truth is. And this is why you need grace and truth. Grace and truth. There's no changing without the grace. Truth in and of itself can be very harsh and mean. But Jesus came with grace and truth. Amen. But notice this. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, right? Because they are not of the world. Just as I'm not of the world. So Jesus came here with this absolute truth. The world was saying one thing, and Jesus said, no, but this is what it is. And they hated him for it, just like the world would hate you. And just, please don't get this twisted. The world does not like you standing up for what the Word of God says. And many who are more cultured by the world and not the church won't like you either. When I mention things like abortion, when I mention truths about sexuality, people get very upset and angry about that. They do. Why? Because the culture is against that. The devil hates God and the family. Hates it. So when you talk things that are in the Word, that's what the Bible's talking about. I've given them your Word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world. We've got to learn as a church not to be of this world. God needs us because there's a world that'll go to hell if they don't see truth, just like I did in that young man sitting there who just happened to be reading his Bible at work, because that's what he did every day. And even though he didn't understand how to receive the grace to overcome some of his challenges, he's in heaven right now. And I told him that at the funeral. Of course, they weren't happy about that either. Come on. But I know he did. I know he was. Yeah. He was born again. You get what I'm saying? Just with a struggle in life. Anybody know what that's about?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yes. All of us have experienced that. All right. But why I'm sharing this with you, because we want the grace to overcome that so it doesn't cut our life short, cut our marriages short, cut out the blessing of God from being, fully expressed in our life. Amen. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Look at the next one. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Next. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Next. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Let me read that passage in the Amplified Bible. Watch what he's saying right here. How he separates us is by his word. Amplified version says, sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself and make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. So what changes you, and what we all need to know, is truth. I need to know the truth about heaven and hell so I can receive the grace to change it. If I think I'm right already, and that there's no God, and that if I don't know the truth, I don't even want the grace. The grace, even though it's there, benefits me no good unless I know the truth. I'm a sinner. I'm born into sin. There is heaven and there is hell. There is a God that's in love with me and has provided a way out for me. But if I don't know truth, the grace that's there benefits me none. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? So sanctify. Watch. What's going to change each of us is truth. We've got to know truth. We've got to know truth about God. We need to know truth about work. We need to know truth about money. Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm the source of all truth. This is the way it will work right. Are y'all listening to me in this place? And then watch. What separates us is the truth. Are y'all with me? The truth is what separates and sanctifies us. Look at another passage. Turn over to John chapter. Did I go all the way through? Go to verse 18. As you sent me into the world as the word and full of grace and truth, I also have sent them into the world. How did he come into the world? As grace and truth. We come into the world with grace and truth now that we're born again. Amen? All right, now turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Y'all remember this passage? Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide, live, dwell in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Look at this. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? Make you free. So we need the truth to get free. We need the truth to receive the grace to change. But without the truth, there is no freedom.
That's right.
We need grace and truth.
Yes.
Are y'all listening to me?
Yes.
Without the truth, many people will think. Now watch, here's a lie that the devil sells. The devil sells a lie, and you see it today in today's environment, that homosexuality and lesbianism and sexual immorality is normal. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
Right. That's a lie. But it has become the norm. Not just the norm in the world, the norm in the church. Come on, somebody. Now watch. Some people may be getting upset with me about this already. But we are the ones who are to bring grace and truth in a loving way. Wouldn't it be horrible if someone told you, that's all right. God's, that's all right. God says that's all right. You're born that way. and you're telling them something that isn't all right and can damage their life. Come on, somebody. It's the truth that makes us free. It's the truth. So we need grace and truth. Are y'all with me? Come on, are y'all learning? So we need truth about life, truth about marriage, truth about finances, truth about work, truth about God, truth about heaven and hell. We need the truth. Come on, somebody. Have y'all ever found out truth about something that really helped you? Like, God, thank God I know that now. Now I can make the change that's necessary. Amen. That's what truth does. It makes you free. All right. Jesus was a perfect balance of grace and truth. Grace, we already said what it is. Yeah, put it up there for me. Grace is God's power, God's strength, God's love, etc. All of God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, I like to say it like this, is the person of Jesus. Grace is the person of Jesus, right? Jesus went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, right? He cast out devil. It's the person of Jesus, all right? Grace, though, however, grace without truth is meaningless. He came with grace and truth, right? But we can see this grace in the person of Jesus. Truth, what is truth? Truth is God's word and principles. It's the principles of Jesus. These principles that he lived by. So it was grace, his person, healing, but it was these principles. And I'm going to show you some scriptures that show him operating in both. All right? I want you to see that because that's where we're going today. All right? Now, so grace, truth without grace can be mean. Grace without truth is meaningless, but truth without grace can be very mean. Come on, have you ever met people who just love sharing the truth? Not in love. Don't love sharing the truth in love. They just love sharing the truth. And it can be real harsh and real mean. But Jesus, you notice that sinners love Jesus? Now, the religious hated him, but sinners loved him. How is it? Because he had this perfect balance of grace and truth. He was able to share with prostitutes, right? Gangsters, Zacchaeus, right? All these people who really loved him and their lives were changed because of his truth and grace. And that's what I want y'all to see. Are y'all with me in this place? Watch this. Turn over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We'll see it here in the scriptures first of all. Y'all know this one. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That's the truth. Grace has to come through a truth called faith. Are you with me? There's truth regarding the principles of faith. Are y'all with me? And not that of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we just don't, I just need more grace. It's received by faith. All right, I'm just going to go on. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, turn over in your Bible to John chapter 3:16. Y'all know it already by heart. Just want you to see this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That sounds like grace, doesn't it? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That sounds like truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Grace, yes. For the whole world. That whosoever believes in him should not perish. So that means if I don't believe in him, I'm still perishing. And I love the next few passages because it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In fact, turn there because it says something else real awesome. Watch this. John chapter 3, verse 17. Y'all got your Bible? Look at verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Sozoed, right? Healed, set free, delivered. He who believes in him is not judged or condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. He's already condemned to death and judgment. Hold up. So we're born into the world, born into sin, born into condemnation and death and judgment already. Jesus is the escape from that. So we're the light of the world to display that. in our lifestyle. I'm not talking about getting a megaphone at work and being all deep. I'm talking about just throughout your lifestyle. This is why Paul tells us constantly, don't live like the world. We need to be on display for unbelievers to see.
Amen.
Are y'all with me? He who believes, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because why? Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Are y'all with me? They're condemned not because of their sin, but because they haven't believed in the only begotten Son of God. How simple is that? Y'all get that? People are going to hell simply because they don't know that Jesus has already died for their sins. He's reconciled the world to himself, and then that's why we have to share this ministry of reconciliation. Are y'all with me? In our lifestyle, that's all of our assignment. In our life. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Don't quit your job and get a pulpit and open up a church. What I'm talking about is in your lifestyle, on your job. This is why you're where you are. One of the main reasons why you're there is because God needs that light in you, that's him, there. There's somebody there that needs to see you just reading the Bible, needs to see you just with a smile, even though there's adverse times. Come on, somebody, because you're a true believer.
Amen.
All right, got that one? All right, let's go to, all right, now here's where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to these stories. Look over at John. Let's see examples of grace and truth, then we're going home. Watch this. John chapter 8. You remember this? John chapter 8 is the woman who was caught in adultery. Y'all remember her? But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, John chapter 8, verse 1. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down and taught them. So Jesus going to the church, he's teaching in the temple. Everybody sit down and listen to him. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, while he's preaching, brought to him a woman caught in adultery. How do you catch someone in adultery? Right? How many people does it take to commit adultery? They really didn't want truth here, or somebody else would have been with them. The dude. Because the law said they're both to be stoned, right? But then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. In the very act, we co-busted her." Now Moses in the law, here comes some truth. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? You get what they're trying to do here? They're throwing some truth out there, but let's just see how Jesus reacts to this. The narrative tells here what they were thinking. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. All right, let's see how grace and truth reacts to this. Next. So when they continued asking, they kept saying, come on, man, what you saying? What's going on? We just caught this girl in adultery. She's cold busted. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Keep that verse up there. Listen to this. Did he deny the truth? Mm-mm. He didn't deny the truth. He just added some grace and truth with it. Truth of the matter is, all of y'all are born in sin. All of you got junk. So one of you without some junk, throw the first stone. And guess, go into the next one. Throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He didn't deny truth. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, could preach here an hour. Those that were there being convicted by their conscience, just the word coming forth convicted them in their conscience, right? He says, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last. So the old people bounced out first, like, oh, snap, okay. Let me get up out of strollers, everything was like, oh, snap. Let me roll up out of here. Why? Because they had more sin to look at. The young people was like, I don't know. Well, I guess I'm a little knucklehead at home on occasion. But the old people was like, oh, yeah, okay, let me see. I'm up out of here. Yeah, let me get up out of here. Just don't look like it's going to go good. Let me roll up out of here. Yeah, you're right, Jesus. Just go, okay, yeah, peace, I'm out. And Jesus, look at this. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Y'all get the picture of this. Everybody's dropping their stones and just Jesus is standing there with her. Look what he says. When Jesus had raised himself up, saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Whoa, that's grace. But look at truth. Go and sin no more. I know I'm not condemning you of this, but don't continue on in this lifestyle. Just because I'm bringing you grace doesn't mean now you can go and keep and live in adultery. Go and just go ahead and live in adultery now. You good? That's a twisting of grace. Grace must be accompanied with truth. He said, yeah, I don't condemn you, but now go and sin no more. Why? Because this grace that I'm going to give you is enabling you and teaching you not to do that. But what the church has done is said, oh, cool, I got grace. He isn't killing me. There's no stones coming at me. Let's just do this some more. No. Grace and truth says, no, go and sin no more. Come on, somebody. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next one. They just brought truth. Jesus brought grace and truth. Come on, somebody. Hey. John chapter 5, verse 5 through 15. Y'all know this one? The lame man healed. Look at this. I love this one. Now a certain man was there. Remember at the pool of Bethesda, all these sick and lame people would be gathered there. An angel would come down and trouble the water or stir the water up, and then whoever was jumped in first would be completely healed, right? Now a certain man who was there who had had an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years, that's a long time. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, I love this, rise up, rise, take up your bed and walk. Man, that's grace coming. Grace comes to heal. I love this. Watch this. Watch it. And immediately the man was made well. Because Jesus is that power of healing. He is it. He's healing embodied. Come on. He's forgiveness embodied. He's the love of God embodied. He's all that. Are you with me? And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Watch this. And that day was the Sabbath. Uh-oh, problem for the Jews, because you're not supposed to do nothing on the Sabbath. Watch this. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured, it is a Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to be carrying your bed. He answered them, all right, he answered, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Hold up, what you talking about? He's the dude who healed me, told me to pick up my bed and walk. Yeah, yes. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed? Who told you that? Look what he says. But the one who was healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. You get what's happening. Here's a man who had never walked. The man, Jesus tells the man to pick up his bed and walk. The dude picks up his bed and start walking. Everybody has seen this man for the last umpteen years. They've seen him forever. Now a crowd's gathering around. Jesus is like, I'm out. Sabbath, this is going to be a problem up in here. Let me roll out of here. He disappeared. So the guy didn't even know who it was. Grace just showed up. Watch this. But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Next. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. Hold up. Jesus didn't just want to heal him. He wanted to give him some truth with the grace. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. That means he was looking for him. Right. Found him in the temple. See, look what Jesus says to him and said to him, see, you've been made well. as grace. Look at that. You've been made well. Look what he says next. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. What? What could be worse than 38 years laying right here? He's telling him a truth. Are you serious? I mean, that's bad. Yeah. Something worse. What he's telling him is, no. I've given you grace, and there's grace here for healing, but this grace is also to change you. Don't live in sin. Don't live in the state you were in. Don't go in sin anymore. Just like he told the woman. I'm not telling you to go back into adultery because I'm not stoning you. This grace is to change you. Go and sin no more. Come on, somebody. Are y'all learning today? Church, we cannot live in the same foolishness. We just have to get the grace and learn so we can get a transformation in our life. Come on, somebody. Hey, how about in finance? Did I finish that one? Made well, sin no more upon you. Yeah. All right. Is that good? Y'all like that one? Verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews. Look, now he knows who it is. And told the Jews, it was Jesus who made him well. After Jesus went and found him and told him who it was. So he didn't leave there just going, I don't know. Dude, why are you walking around with that bed? You know it's the Sabbath day. I don't know. The dude who healed me told me to pick it up. I picked it up. I'm walking. I don't know. Well, who was he? I don't know. Can you get that? I don't even know who he was. Jesus went and found him and told him who he was. Now he's going and telling people, it was Jesus who made me well. Do y'all get what this grace is supposed to do? Look, what God wants is our tore up, banged up lives. Us get Jesus and get some grace and truth. Be transformed. And I'm telling you, with that transformation, others to see the light and the Jesus in us through our transformed lives. Not live the same old life we lived. And then, I'm saved. And that's why we get a stinky attitude in church, because we don't really get this grace and truth that really transforms us. When you're really transformed, you're excited about this. You're excited that you used to be bound to this and now you're free. You're excited because this Jesus is real to you and not just somebody on the pages of a book. And that's what God wants. He wants a real experience. He wants a real life with you, not just something, not some religious experience where you can't stand going to church. When you really have a relationship with grace, with healing embodied, with goodness embodied, with favor embodied, when you live a life that becomes union and one with him. Do y'all get this? No, I'm out of time. I'll wait till Sunday to tell you that. Yep. I know. I want to. But it might take me too long. Yeah. It might take me too long, and I want to get you out of here. Pray. Amen. Here, I'm going to stay on point. Come Sunday, because I am going to. Oh, daggone it. As I start thinking about it, I want to share it with y'all. But come Sunday. This whole walk of Christianity, y'all, this whole life of Christianity is this marriage between Jesus and the church. It's this marriage. It's this union where we have this intimacy. And the Bible calls it, this is why the Bible says, when Paul is explaining marriage, he says, this is a great mystery, but I'm really talking about Christ and the church. And what he's talking about is how a husband and wife become one flesh. We're one spirit with the Lord. But he says, husband and wife become this one flesh. Right? And that's what God wants with us. This is why Jesus is the husband and we are the bride of Christ. To have this union that produces this fruit on the inside of us. This intimate relationship, this grace on the inside of us, this truth on the inside of us produces this good fruit. This good fruit. And not just good fruit in our life, but it reproduces fruit. When a husband and wife come together with that love relationship, this intimacy, it produces fruit of children. You don't have to try. It's a natural thing. It will produce. And with you, with a genuine, real, intimate relationship with God, will produce fruit. It will produce good fruit in your life. Those things, when it's an intimate relationship. Are y'all with me? Amen, 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 amen. I'm not going to go into the details of that, but that's what it is, all right? And we'll look at that in the scriptures. We'll look at that in the scriptures on marriage when we come back on Sunday, all right? Okay, here, look over, and I'm closing. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Look at this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. Do y'all know that God longs for intimacy with mankind? He longs for that. God is looking for those that will worship him in spirit and truth. God is looking for this relationship with mankind where we walk with him and talk with him and have this marriage type relationship. This marriage type where he is the husband. He is the one that we submit ourselves to. You get it? Wives, submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord. It's a submission to God where we're talking with him about everything, about every detail in our life, even our problems. He's such a lover of you and has given you this grace that he wants you to come openly before him and say, God, you know, Lord, I blew that. I have this challenge in life. And he won't put you on blast. He'll actually, with the grace, get you out of that. Amen. With intimate relationship. But when we stay the same and we see, we don't understand this grace. We don't understand how it's coupled with truth. Come on, somebody. We need the truth and grace. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That's grace. Look over 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's truth. With the grace comes the truth that's with it. With the grace of Jesus and salvation comes the truth of believing. Having faith, believing in that. With every grace, there's truth that matches with it to receive it. Are y'all with me? Amen, amen. Turn, last passages. 3 John or 2 John? 3 John. 3 John, verse 2 through 4. Yes, only one chapter. 3 John. And we're closing. Y'all with me? Watch what John writes here. He says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. How many things? And be in health, just as your soul prospers. Sounds like grace to me. Look at this next one, though. For I greatly rejoiced when the brethren came and testified of what? The truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Next. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The grace of prosperity and health comes with walking in truth and grace. Close your Bible.